After the show, be sure to get your Friendo Club t-shirt from the Steven Larson merch store at TeePublic. The link is in the description. Hey, Friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the wrestling podcast for the Friendos, for the wrestling fans out there, for the iTunes. I have no idea. I never know what to say during this intro of mine. I say it's on iTunes, that's for truth, that's real,
yeah,
right?
It's on YouTube, that's also truth.
It's kind of a somber episode today with Daniel Bryan's retirement. We're going to talk extensively about that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about NXT and some injury to a major player in NXT.
Correct.
Breaking news.
That's not breaking. This was reported like over the weekend.
It's not breaking news at all. But first, listen, we've got something very special. So we've got our Going In Raw set back here, okay? And we are encouraging any friendos who wants to have their crap up on here. We have plenty of space. We can even widen out the shot if we want to include more stuff.
But yeah, there's wall available over there.
Plenty of room over there.
Over here, down here, up there.
Our good friendo, the mod father, Joshua Idol, sent us something all the way from merry old England. P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California 95662. We'll put it in the description. If you want to send us something, we can put on the Going In Raw set. Obviously, nothing too giant. I mean, if you have like a giant primetime Brian Lee poster, that's fine. We might find some room for it. So you might find like a sliver of your thing up here if you give us something big.
Well, there's things up here that can be replaced too, like the Red Dead Redemption poster.
Yeah, we'll just put it over here. Exactly. Plenty of room to fill up there.
This Nightcrawler too.
Nightcrawler. That's a shame. We should transfer Nightcrawler over to...
Or the 10 for the win set.
Exactly. Anyways, we're going to open this live on air really quick and put something up there. Do you want to explain the backstory? Because we know what this is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was several months ago. That
a while ago.
He tweeted some pictures to us of some action figures he found that were, shall we say, homages to several WWE superstars.
This is the kind of thing where you'd find... I mean, I don't know where you'd find it there in terms of the type of place.
It's like a dollar store thing.
It's like a dollar store thing,
yeah.
Or like a really low rent sort of find everything there type deal.
Yeah.
And I remember the funniest one I ever saw was an army man, but they had a picture of Tom Hanks from Saving Private. It was down in L.A.
Yeah.
A picture of Saving Private Ryan,
oh,
Tom
that.
Hanks. And I'm pretty sure all the language was either Spanish or maybe Japanese or something. I forget what. But it was great. Anyways, he sent us pictures of these, and they're obviously appropriated from their reappropriated WWE guys.
Yeah.
And this one, this is fantastic. It's all like busted open and shit. Look at that. It's Dude Iov. It says, it's supposed to say Dude Love, but it's obviously an I right there. So that's Mick Foley, obviously.
Yeah.
Wrestle Crazy 24. Wrestling action figure for £3.99. Six assorted, collect them all. Not collect all of them, collect them all.
I don't know if that's going to stay on the wall, though.
This might be a little precarious. I'm sure I have some tape around here somewhere. We can put this... I wish there was one, like, right here. Oh, here we go. Shit, I don't know where this can go. There you go, yeah. Put that... Right here. Oh, perfect. Yeah, right there. Oh, that's covering us up. Right here. There you go.
Let's see if that works.
And we got two of the P Desperados. This is Stefan Fenris, and that's the Modfather right there. So thank you very much,
yes,
Josh.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it, Modfather. If you guys want to send in your stuff, you totally can. The link is in the description to do so. Moving on.
Yeah.
Sad, sad news. This was a real bummer. Yesterday, Daniel Bryan tweeted out during the day that he would be announcing his retirement, and he'd be, or he's announcing his retirement, and he's going to elaborate that on Raw.
Yeah.
He came out at the end of the show last night and said basically, you know, they ran lots of tests, and about a week and a half ago, because we had all been hearing, like, through the dirt sheets and stuff, and even from him, I think, a little bit.
That he had been cleared by his doctors, but the WWE wouldn't clear.
Right, exactly. And so it seemed to be a matter of, we had talked about it pretty
yeah,
pretty
and you always say that I will not admit when I'm wrong, and now after hearing what he said last night, assuming that it's truthful, which I see no reason for him to not be truthful,
be a
last
pretty
night,
big
yeah,
big thing to lie about,
would
yeah,
that I was wrong about the WWE's approach to them with the concussion. That seems like their intentions were genuine. They weren't keeping him out just to avoid potential bad PR. They were giving him out because he wasn't fit to wrestle.
Yeah.
And so There you go. I admitted I was wrong.
Well, it just goes to show that they're in an era right now where they can't be too careful.
Yeah.
You have to take these precautions, and even though, you know, you get a couple of it is surprising that the WWE. I was reading the thing that Jim Ross was talking about, and he says, you know, back in the good old days, these kind of precautions weren't in place, and it's damn good now that they are, and it goes to show how serious they are. I mean, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, when CM Punk sort of went on his on Colt Cabana's podcast and talked about this, he made it seem like they could give a shit.
Yeah, and I think it was that partially in mind, that kind of, as he seemed to view it, a kind of callousness that management may have towards the health of their wrestlers.
Right.
You know, I thought, you know, with that in mind, I was like, okay, well, maybe the Daniel Bryan's health isn't exactly at the forefront of their minds. I'm sure it was always part of the, you know, in my previous argument, it was always part of the justification keeping him out, but it wasn't the primary or sole justification.
Right.
But apparently, you know, if his brain is having issues, then hopefully and apparently it was.
I mean, I think what sort of struck me was, because, you know, up until he literally said a week and a half ago, I found out that my brain isn't as okay as I had thought it was.
Yeah.
That's permanent. Yeah. That is not getting better. That's not, oh, he's going to go. Because I thought, and we had all sort of speculated and want to know, okay, number one, is this a work? I felt, nah, probably not. But, you know, obviously leading up to him saying that. I felt probably not. They're making a big deal about this. It's not part of some larger story.
And when he first announced it, you know, I think we all thought, oh, this could be a work. And then as more and more wrestlers started saying, thank you, Daniel Bryan, and then, you know, like an hour or two before Raw went on there, WWE released the shirt that said thank you on it.
Yeah.
That's not a work.
The bigger thing for me wasn't even necessarily, okay, is this a work or a shoot? I figured, because we also both read there was a dirt sheet that said he had asked for his release and it wasn't granted because his contract had been suspended. Now, I have no idea if that's true or not, but when I read that and then he says, I'm going to retire, it made me wonder if there was some contractual wiggle room that had to do with retiring, which would then...
he'd have a 90-day no compete, and then he can go on and do
something like that. Exactly. Yeah. So my thing was, okay, maybe he's retiring from the WWE, and that'll allow him to go to New Japan, and allow him to go to Ring of Honor, allow him to go the indie route.
Yeah.
But when he steps in there and says a week and a half ago, I found out a test show that my brain isn't where it needs to be or where it should be. That's huge. That means he is done. There's no, the brain, you don't fuck the brain.
No.
So, I mean, even when Edge came out and said, you know, my neck is this or that, it was like, okay, well, I wonder if, but he hasn't come back and he seems totally fine with that. The brain is an even bigger deal than the neck.
Yeah.
Because the brain is what leads.
It was, if he wrestles again, he could be paralyzed.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of big. And you don't want to wrestle again.
Exactly. Yeah. But with neck stuff, like, it's kind of like with, you know, John Cena or any number of athletes these days, when you tear like the ACL or whatever, people seem to come back.
Oh, that seems routine now.
Exactly. And you can come back and be 100% after that. You've seen it a lot. Back 15 years ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it's sort of like in baseball, pitchers these days are having Tommy John surgery, having ligaments replaced in their elbows. And, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was, the chances of you coming back are pretty slim, but now it's everybody gets them.
And the brain is not, you don't fuck with the brain.
No, you don't.
You don't do that.
You don't do that.
And so the fact that he said those words, that is permanent. That he ain't going to New Japan, he ain't doing nothing else. So it's there's two sides of this. There's one, me the fan, and it sort of goes the same way with CM Punk, although in a completely different way. Me the fan, I'm obviously disappointed because he is one of a kind. He's unique. He is absolutely, he was, even seeing him in that ring talking,
It was emblematic of why people forward such a connection with him, because he just seems like a real genuine guy.
And it was funny because I always loved him best as a heel. To me, he was most entertaining. Yeah. We're generally heel guys anyways, but he was more, but at a certain point with Daniel Bryan, he literally couldn't be a heel anymore because people loved him so hardcore. Yeah. Didn't matter what he did.
Yep.
And so the tail end of his career was actually my least favorite of his because he had such huge support behind him. And I feel like he wasn't allowed to be as interesting as, let's say, his days with Kane or his days, especially before that, when he won the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, when he was with AJ.
Exactly. Yeah. That, to me, was his most entertaining time. But either way you cut it, it's really sad as a fan mm-hmm. of his work because there's nobody else like him. And, you know, we can count the number of... I mean, to me, the closest thing to him would be a Kevin Owens, who you know, once he goes through his heel routine, once he sort of lives that out and people really see him, he's going to be one of those guys.
Once people don't boo him even when he's trying to be a heel.
Right, exactly. Then he's going to be in that same ilk. I feel like personality-wise, he's probably up there in terms of just guys that just have so much charisma.
Yeah.
But there's never going to be another Daniel Bryan. He's such a unique case. Yeah. And this is a really, truly just a bummer of a thing. But on the flip side of that, I'm really excited that the guy, A, found out about this before
he hurt himself.
Things got really bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I have no idea what he
expected. And I feel good. I feel great for the guy because he got to, you know, as he said last night, work his dream job for 16 mm-hmm. years, reach the top of the mountain.
Yep.
Before he was forced out.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And he just, he seems like the kind of guy, and I was even saying, like, on my little recap show last night, I really kind of hope that he doesn't even, I don't want to see him be the commissioner, I don't want to see him be the GM, I don't want to see any of that crap. If I can't see this guy wrestle, I want him to leave the company and go do something cool and creative and neat that he wants to do.
Yeah.
As a fan of his.
The only way I would be remotely interested in him being involved in wrestling still mm-hmm. would be two things. One, if he stopped by NXT from time to time.
Yeah, sure.
Because he's really tight with Wayne Regal.
Yeah.
So, or if he opens his own school in Arizona.
Yeah.
And just teach the next generation of
wrestling. It'd be fun. So much fun to see him on Breaking Ground. Mm-hmm. It'd be so much fun to see him. Can you imagine him and Scott Hall if they ever hired Scott Hall?
That'd be great.
Breaking Ground would have to be a. They'd have to like double up production.
It'd be a weekly show.
Exactly. Yeah. I would need it all the time. That'd be a lot of fun. Man, that'd be great. Him and Regal and Hall, that'd be fucking fantastic. Let's talk about, though, his impact on the sport, on professional wrestling.
I think you touched on it a bit. You know, he's one of the guys in the last few years who have transcended WWE. I mean, he hasn't, you know, had the film opportunities of Cena or to a slightly lesser extent Orton, but mm-hmm. you see all the sports teams adopting the yes chant.
Mm-hmm.
And for that period of time, like late 2014, early 2015, most any team in contention for any sort of championship, that was the centerpiece of the fans' reaction to that team.
Yeah.
Was doing the yes chant.
Yeah.
I think in my time watching wrestling, I only think of a handful of wrestlers who have managed to forge that strong of a connection with the audience. I mean, we've both been to shows where, like, I remember the first Raw I went to was I believe before Stone Cold won the title for the first time, so that was his peak.
Right.
And that's the only other time I could think of that even came close to matching the feeling of being at WrestleMania when we went this past year mm-hmm. with 70,000 people all chanting yes after he won the IC belt.
And that translates to the guys that you see coming up. It's funny because Daniel Bryan was such... His impact was such that everybody that the WWE sort of looked at afterwards, Triple H, we all speculate who does what, but Triple H and NXT specifically seems to be so geared towards a Daniel Bryan type. If you look at who's coming in, Kevin Owens, we already touched on. He doesn't look like if you take Ryback as sort of your typical 90s guy.
Well, you got Owens, you got Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn is like a direct.
Yeah.
Even Daniel Bryan,
Austin Aries just came in. He doesn't look like a prototypical wrestler.
Right.
Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm. You all these guys who came up who have years and years and years of experience, and they all bring such a what? I mean, that's one thing. It reminds me of the Chris Jericho documentary on the WWE Network, in that he details. I went to Smoky Mountain and I learned how to cut a promo. Yeah. I went to this place and I learned how to do this. And they bring together all these different influences from all these different territories that I've been to. And that's what makes guys, as opposed to somebody who's fresh and comes into WWE or NXT and that's all they know.
Yeah.
You have all these great guys with all these wide influences.
And I think what's interesting about the guys who've wrestled in various independent promotions is when they get to NXT, they just have to more or less learn how to wrestle the WWE way.
Right.
That's all they need to really learn.
Right.
You know, they need to learn how to wrestle for that kind of television. I think that's really the major difference, it seems to be, is wrestling for a show with 300 people versus wrestling for 17, 20, 50, 70,000 plus television cameras.
Just the WWE production, the way their way
of doing it. Yeah, exactly. And versus a guy who has no prior experience and has to learn everything from the ground up at the performance center.
Right.
And so they are schooled in one way, and that's the WWE way. They don't have all those other influences working to... And it seems a lot of time the guys who have a lot more experience, it seems like they have an easier transition in some respects. I mean, I guess Sami Zayn's been in NXT for, what, 3 years? But he's seemed like on the cusp of being called up for at least a year and a half, and he hadn't gotten hurt.
He could easily be. He could easily be in roster.
But even like, there's guys like Baron Corbin. Who knows how long he's going to be in NXT?
Right, exactly.
As far as I know, that's the only experience he's had wrestling.
And I like Baron Corbin's look. I like his size. I like the fact that he's not ripped. I like the look that he's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
How cool would it be? And he's young. How cool would it be if he had 10 years out there in different territories,
learning different things.
And it's like, because right now what I think he lacks mainly, and we've talked about this, is he seems like he doesn't care, but I think that's more of a, when he's on the mic, it's just the lack of confidence on the mic. If he had that confidence that, say, Kevin Owens had, he'd be a really interesting package.
Yeah, he could be.
Yeah. But then, you know, you have a guy like Finn Balor, who, granted, you always say is boring, but if you look, I honestly think that he just hasn't had a chance to shine the way I think he really could.
Yeah, that's, it could just be his character's boring.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's it. Because if you look at some of his stuff in New Japan, it's pretty good.
No, I'll readily admit to that.
But yeah, so I think his impact is huge for the future of the WWE. Yeah. I really do.
And especially when Triple H takes over from Vince. You know, Vince is always kind of gravitated towards the huge.
He likes Braun Strowman, apparently.
Yeah. And I think nowadays people don't necessarily want two huge guys clubbing each other with fists. They want athletic wrestlers
who
can tell a good story in the ring.
Yeah.
And connect with them on the mic.
Yeah.
I think that's what people now want. They don't necessarily need to see two guys that are 7 feet tall and 400 pounds slowly throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
It's not what people want now.
What's your favorite Daniel Bryan moment? If you could pick one, what is it?
It's my introduction to him, because around the time, about 2011 is when I started getting back into wrestling. I think we watched WrestleMania that year at somebody's house.
Okay.
And we were gonna record VO or something that day, and you said, "Hey, have you heard of this Daniel Bryan guy? His real name is Bryan Danielson." It's like, "No, I haven't heard of him." And so you showed me this video of him where, it was his indie days, and I think the guy was just no-selling him. And apparently, Daniel Bryan was unhappy about this and started throwing legit elbows at the guy's head.
Hitting the crap out of him.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This guy takes his work seriously.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing I always like about Daniel Bryan. He takes his work seriously, but it never seemed like he took himself seriously.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And the wrestlers I tend to respect most have the attitude towards their work. Mm-hmm. They're very serious about the work, but I think at the same time, they realize what they do is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it in any sort of negative way. It's theater.
Yeah.
What they're doing.
I remember my friend Gabe, who has a wrestling podcast called, I think it's called Wrestling with Addiction, I think. He actually introduced me to Daniel Bryan. He introduced me to Ring of Honor like ages ago. And when he was Bryan Danielson. And I remember seeing him then, and he seemed so intense back then. And then when he came to there was like a long time when I wasn't even on my mind. And then he came into WWE, and I was like, oh, wait a second. That's that guy I remember from back then. So I knew he had been around a while. But my favorite Daniel Bryan moment, I mentioned it kind of, was when he first won the World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold belt.
From Big Show, right?
I think it was Big Show. Yeah. I forget. Yeah, I think it was Big Show, yeah. And they sort of just made him a heel. Because of he started talking about how he won. He was cheating to win. Mm-hmm. It was weird because he was a face, and then he cheated to win, and he just started talking about how great his victory was. And that's when he started doing the yes, yes, yes to rub it into people.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was just perfect. That was he could be the most entertaining at that point because people hadn't caught on quite yet.
Yeah.
But you could see he always had a look on his face or a twinkle in his eye where he knew he was being ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's when you know they're having fun. That's when you know, that's when you have fun with it. That's when you're like, this guy's great. And you see that in Seth Rollins when he's being a heel.
Yeah, when that there's that reaction shot that you see where he lost the match, but he kept the belt. And
exactly, yeah.
When you embrace the ridiculousness of the genre.
Exactly.
But you're still serious about
Still serious about your work. You're still being a heel. But you can just tell on their face that they know this is good. And they know that the people just haven't caught on yet.
Yes.
That's what's the best. And that's my favorite stuff. And it's, of course, watching him win the unified belt or the world
title. WrestleMania 30. Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's obviously, it's a classic one, but in terms of like entertaining me the most, that's what I love the most.
Yeah, I guess I'm really happy that we got to see one of his last matches.
Yeah.
WrestleMania last.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's next? You ask here, what's next for the WWE in a post Daniel Bryan universe? We kind of touched on it a little bit in terms of like the wrestlers coming up and the impact he has. I think it was a hugely positive one. It opened up the WWE to understand, hey, you know what? We can sell merch from a guy who doesn't look like Cena.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what matters to them, is making money. We can make money off guys like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of important. In terms of him being gone, I mean, he's been gone for so
About a year now, almost, that
we see what's sort of next, because he's been gone for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's a bummer, but we'll come to terms with it. We came to terms with the post CM Punk universe. So,
yeah.
We'll come to terms with the Daniel Bryan universe. It is very sad though. So, thank you, Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Like one of our friends on Twitter, one of our friendos on Twitter was like, you guys should have him on your show. That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic. if it was as simple as asking.
Somebody could figure out how to do that. That'd be great. Oh, goodness. Anyways, so there was a lot more that happened on Raw, though. Kind of. And we're gonna talk about that, because there's a whole thing going on. We're in WrestleMania season, so it's time for our weekly...
Rawcast. Raw cap.
Oh, goodness. We had our contract signing, Larson, for Fastlane. Okay. Overall, the show...
Why is Roman Reigns, like, basically a non-entity right now?
He is a complete ghost right now. He ain't doing shit. He does not care. He's just there. Is this indicative of what is going to happen with Fastlane, with WrestleMania? They are pushing the shit out of Dean Ambrose in terms of this storyline. It opened up, Raw opened up with a Fastlane contract signing.
Did you mean to say Fastlane there?
Yes, I did.
Okay, to make sure.
Stephanie had the things out. Roman and Ambrose were hanging out. Lesnar came down. They signed their names.
Well, and Ambrose the whole time just couldn't wait.
He was horny to fight.
Yeah, he was ready to
get to fight.
Hands on Lesnar.
Stephanie exits the ring, understanding what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Lesnar threw at what looked like a pretty sturdy table. That was not a gimmick table. That was not one of the standard gimmick cardboard tables.
That was the table he threw at Reigns. And Reigns just folded.
Reigns folded and scurried out of the ring.
Yeah, he just rolled out of the ring to let Ambrose take a beat down. And it's the second week in a row that's happened, because last week, he being Reigns, went outside the ring to fend off the New Day.
Yeah. Do these guys care? Like, do these guys give a shit about each other?
Well, I think Dan said a couple weeks ago, or last time we had him on, that they are not very good friends.
They're not very good friends. They don't seem to be very good. They're not. Sorry, I mean, maybe it's you have a brother. I don't have a brother. You have a brother.
Yeah.
If Brock Lesnar threw a table at you and aimed it, and your brother went up to him and tried, and then he started wrecking your brother, would you stay out of the ring?
No, I might try to help my brother.
I might try to help him out a little bit, right?
I mean, because, yeah, being hit by a table probably sucks, but it wouldn't make you fold.
Well, yeah.
because he just, like, ugh.
He really
fell out of the ring.
But it made me wonder if that, I mean, that whole thing felt, I mean, I know that this is what they were supposed to do. That whole thing felt like such a shoot. Like, Lesnar legitimately threw a table that Roman Reigns had no idea was going to come at him. And Roman Reigns, he can get startled in the ring.
Yeah.
When that fan attacked him.
Yeah.
And he was legitimately shaken months ago.
Yeah.
He gets shaken up sometimes.
Well, his whole attitude in the ring these days is kind of... It's like he's been watching a lot of Baron Corbin.
Exactly.
Because yeah. like Dean Ambrose, like, I'm gonna go get Lesnar. I'm gonna go get Lesnar. Reigns like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, he's like, okay, cool, that's fine.
And then at the end, when Ambrose like, I'm gonna get him.
Yeah.
And Reigns is like, oh, I can come out and help you if you want.
Yeah.
Ambrose is like, no, I'm cool. All right.
Yeah.
And he comes out and just stands there.
He just stands there and just enjoys it happening.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a part of me that kind of thinks I kind of understand what they're going for.
I understand if Reigns is turning heel.
But he's not turning heel.
Ambrose isn't turning heel.
No, he's not.
There's no way Ambrose is turning heel.
I kind of get Reigns. I don't know. Maybe I don't. I don't get it.
I don't understand it at all. If the plan is for a face Reigns to win the belt at WrestleMania, they're setting him up to be booed so hard.
We have to take that off the table at this point.
No, I know.
That has to be taken off the table at this point.
I don't know what else.
Fastlane's going to show us what's
really
happening.
They were doing so much right, and then the Royal Rumble, they just threw it all away.
They just threw it all away. But we're getting, hey, look, Ambrose isn't the little sidekick anymore. Ambrose is taking center stage.
Yeah.
It's just taking us so aback, because I don't believe that they're going to put the strap on Ambrose. I don't believe that for a second.
I don't either.
So I'm trying not to get my hopes up. That's the thing. I have a hard time enjoying this.
This is what I think is going to happen. Both Ambrose and Reigns go in the main event at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns screws Ambrose out of the belt to win, but not exactly aligning himself with Triple H, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So it's huge.
Isn't that just winning the belt, though? Isn't that just...
No, but either you can win through nefarious means.
Yeah, but that's still just winning the belt. Like, he'd have to, in order for it to be real, a heel turn... He'd have to align with the authority.
Well, that'd be weird to beat the guy you're just about to align yourself with.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I don't understand what's going
on. I don't understand any of this.
I do not
it's
get
so
it.
It's so confusing. It makes my head hurt.
What would Stone Cold do? If we replace Roman Reigns with Stone Cold, he'd just be whipping everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be...
He's not friends with anybody.
Reigns should be doing what Brock Lesnar is doing, just beating everybody up.
Yeah.
We've been saying this for months.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what was happening when he was getting over.
And
he was just beating people up.
And this is a sentiment that Dan has echoed many times. And it's a sentiment that I agree with, but I really wish they wouldn't play into it so much, is that Brock Lesnar is an unstoppable monster.
Yeah.
Because then it makes anybody else who holds the title, it makes them weak.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why are you holding the belt when this unstoppable monster is over here?
Yeah, I know.
So that's kind of a problem for
well,
me.
Well, he does have one weakness. His Achilles heel apparently shot to the balls, because he's down for minutes when that happens.
He's down forever. Why didn't they have Ambrose pounce a bit?
I know.
After that. That also kind of bugged me.
I know. That bothered me too.
Okay. So yeah, to explain, because this is supposed to be also like a recap. What happened was Ambrose gets destroyed by Lesnar. Ambrose and Reigns gets destroyed by Lesnar.
To open the show
later on. Ambrose comes out, calls out Lesnar in a pretty blue manner.
Yeah.
He said, Heyman's holding your balls.
Yeah.
Can't get it up for the big fight.
And Ambrose was great throughout that whole segment.
It was amazing.
Especially
fantastic.
After the F5 and he's waving Lesnar come back in the ring. That was great.
Fantastic.
That's when, at that moment, I said, no way, no way Ambrose logically
yeah.
turns heel.
Yeah. And then Lesnar comes out, beats the crap out of Ambrose. Ambrose keeps on asking for it, keeps on laughing at him. Sells it beautifully. Sells it like he's just getting murdered. Reigns shows up at the top of the ramp, which is weird because he never shows up at the top of the ramp.
Yeah, he comes for the audience.
Normally. Yeah, exactly. He came into the top of the ramp, just sort of stares at Lesnar. Lesnar,
It looks like they started kind of...
Does the typical wrestling thing where he completely
shit.
Forgets that something else is happening.
Yeah.
Wrestlers don't have very... They're not good AI.
Yeah.
They're terrible AI.
Yeah.
Lesnar focuses exclusively on Reigns, not doing this, not being like, okay, what's going on? Ambrose gives him the low blow.
Yeah.
And then jet sets out the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sort of like in the opening segment, after Lesnar gives Ambrose the F5, he just gets out of the ring.
Yeah. And with all this, Fastlane has... We say this every single pay-per-view. Fastlane has the potential... To be decent.
Legitimately, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Because we have no idea what's going to happen. No clue.
And as long as you set yourself up for disappointment, you'll probably be moderately entertained.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's the WWE.
Which is all I asked for my $9.99 a month.
Just be moderately entertained, and then we get Breaking Ground.
Yeah.
And NXT. Let's see here. Kevin Owens loses to Dolph Ziggler again.
But Dolph kind of cheated.
Yeah, Dolph cheated. He didn't kind of.
All right, he cheated.
Put his ass up on the ropes, which was fine. I'm totally fine with these guys feuding. I just want a feud to happen, a story. I want something to happen.
Yeah, other than they're feuding to feud.
Other than the fact that, I just speculated that somebody like in the back really likes to watch these guys. Somebody like with Stroke really likes to watch these guys wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have them do. Yeah. Hey, look, you guys aren't really doing anything else right now. And Kevin Owens like, I know, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You have 28 writers. I need to be doing something. No, that's fine. You're not doing anything right now. So just go fight. He's like, I know I'm not doing
just
anything.
Just go wrestle Dolph and make fun of Michael Cole and you'll be fine for this month.
And you'll be fine for this month. Exactly. Like, look, after Fastlane, we got 28 riders. We'll figure out what to do.
We'll get you in a real program with somebody.
Get you in a real program. Maybe a week or two before WrestleMania. You'll be fine. Anyways. So, yeah, I mean, it's a decent match. They always put on a decent match.
Yeah. And I'm assuming they're going to have a match at Fastlane. And
I assume they're going to have a match at SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw,
yeah,
SmackDown, Raw,
it
Fastlane.
It seems to be kind of like a best of however many series.
A best
point.
Of 13, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's see here. Everybody was blowing up my Twitter. Big time
on
SmackDown.
Ryback's new tights.
Huge. I mean, this was huge news to everybody knew this was going to be big news for me. Ryback has new tights.
He doesn't look like a cartoon character anymore.
I speculate that he's probably just tight. He's like, you know what? I'm tired of plunking down new money because he's the one paying for the tights.
Yeah.
And that RVD's airbrush guy probably isn't cheap.
Yeah.
So he's probably like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to pay for this shit anymore. I'm just going to get some black tights that I can wear every time.
I noticed too last night that his change of garments was also reflected in his wrestling because he's doing a little more athletic stuff and not so much the strongman stuff.
Two
moves he attempted to do off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
He did like a running, jumping knee thing.
Yeah.
So maybe he's finally unleashing his entire arsenal to increase the chances that he'll hurt somebody
again. What, 5 years after he debuted, he starts unleashing his full arsenal?
Well, I mean, you read on the dirt sheets that apparently Braun Strowman could do a lot more than they're
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
So maybe, I'm sure they go to a wrestler and say, okay, your character is this, based on this character, your moveset should be this, and don't deviate from that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I don't really care. I don't really care for Ryback. I don't really care for his moveset. I don't care if he makes better moves.
I don't really care for his new trunks either.
I don't care. So they're just black, but then it says...
And they have an R over the front area.
Over the junk.
And then big guy on the booty.
The trunk, okay.
Yeah.
And none of it matters. Like, then he loses to Bray Wyatt. I mean, thank God for Bray Wyatt. He's picking up wins now.
Yeah.
You know, on his way to losing to Lesnar at WrestleMania.
I'm holding that hope that he'll win that match.
Yeah, me too. Let's see here. The Miz, Jericho, and AJ Styles.
Yeah, it was started as Miz TV segment. Jericho came out, transitioned to highlight reel.
Yeah.
And then the process of which AJ came out, and both Jericho and AJ beat down The Miz.
AJ, I didn't watch this because I was taking my dog for a walk. Did AJ talk?
No.
Okay. Again, he's not talking. I'm actually kind of on board with this whole him and Jericho having this mini feud on SmackDown. I kind of like that. Gives us a reason to watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm not on board with? The calf killer or the calf crusher.
Yeah.
I am not a huge move. Look, the Styles Clash, we were anti for the longest time. We came to terms with the Styles Clash.
Yeah, we're okay with it.
And now they're basically taking it away.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be using the stupid calf, a stupid submission move that looks like crap. He's going to be using that as his finisher.
Is he doing the when I saw that he was changing, because I don't watch SmackDown. I saw he was changing. I went on YouTube to see what the calf killer / calf crusher looked like.
Yeah.
Is he still doing the thing where he rolls with them to get into the move?
I only watched it on SmackDown. I think he did.
So whenever I saw him do that in TNA, the roll into the move was really slow.
Yeah.
It didn't look impactful. But if the roll into the move was quick...
Jericho's not doing anything quick, so we're not gonna get that from Jericho.
But if he rolled into it quick, I would be okay with it.
I mean, look, if the Styles Clash is something he's going to bust out of pay-per-views, I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
I just wish that they gave him a better secondary finisher.
I don't mind it. It's no better or worse than the ankle lock.
I don't like the ankle. Well, I like Kurt Angle's ankle lock,
yeah.
Or ankle lock, whatever you call it.
I
like that because of the way he does it. He sells it so perfectly.
Well, the videos I saw of AJ selling the calf killer, he was selling it pretty well.
Yeah.
In TNA. At least in my mind, a submission move is only as convincing as the person. This sentence is going to be all fucked up. Like, if the person applying the Smish move isn't selling it, it's not convincing in the least. Because the person who's in the Smish move is going to sell it regardless.
Oh, I agree. I agree totally. I agree. Look at Ric Flair when he did the figure four.
Yeah.
It worked because he gave it so much. Yeah. And he was hoping beyond hope that nobody turned it over on him.
Yeah.
Even though logically it doesn't make a
doesn't
damn
make
sense.
Any sense.
No, it doesn't. Let's see here. Women's division. Charlotte versus Alicia Fox.
That was a good match.
Yeah, it was a decent match. I actually saw half of that. Brie gets title shot at Fastlane. Why does she get a title shot at Fastlane? Because she won last week.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been confirmed.
Yeah.
Brie's going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Becky Lynch.
I wonder how much longer Brie's going to wrestle now that Daniel Bryan retired.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because apparently Nikki's injury is career threatening.
I think they said that's okay now, though.
Oh, it is?
I think, yeah.
Well, I don't know if she had surgery.
It depended on the surgery.
They were still saying after that it was.
Oh, were they? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on if they decide to open up an organic farm like you've always wanted to do. I could see them doing that. Becky Lynch versus Tamina. It's going to be Becky and Sasha versus Team Bad at Fastlane. My internet started cutting out at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a decent match? Probably not.
It was kind of all over the place.
Becky Lynch looks like $1 million. I love Sasha, but Becky Lynch needs to run with that title at some point.
Sasha was on commentary.
She was on commentary. I heard a little bit of that, yeah. Yeah, my parents came over. Titus O'Neil job to Adam Rose in the Social Outcasts. Bo Dallas is great, though. He's back.
Yeah, he's good.
I love him.
Heath Slater is still terrible.
He's still awful. I like the Social Outcasts, though.
I do, except for Heath Slater.
You know the thing about Adam Rose that still bugs me? He's got a really, really good look, and I think they just fucked up his whole thing. I don't know. I never saw him as Leon Kruger, but that sounded like it might have been a cool thing, like just a badass.
Yeah,
he's got a good look.
He does.
You know, same with Bo Dallas for that matter. But yeah. I'm fine these days. I'm fine with Bo as he is because he's fucking funny as shit.
No, I am too.
Let's see here. Dudley's turn heel. Yeah, I saw this. So the Usos and the Dudleys took on the New Day.
And Mark Henry.
The New Day and Mark Henry. It was cool to see Mark Henry wearing a unicorn penis.
Yeah. I wish Mark Henry was on TV more. I
love Mark Henry.
I like Mark Henry
He's
a lot.
Great. And then afterwards, the Dudleys and Usos, the Dudleys turn on the Usos, put them through some tables.
Yeah.
The crowd cheered. Big time. What is the point? If you're trying to get the Usos over as baby faces, what is the point of doing something that is so obviously going to make people cheer against you? Everybody was cheering the Dudleys. Did the Usos, this actually kind of, now that I think about it, makes me wonder if the Usos did something. Because this is kind of a, hey, let's fuck these guys over type thing. It felt like a punishment.
I don't know. I assume this means Usos-Dudley's feud. But what does that leave for the New Day? Who are they going to feud with next? Who else is there? Are they going to feud with the Lucha Dragons now that Sin Cara is back? I don't know either.
Well, hey, you know what? Cass and Enzo, they were at a WWE house show. They did a house show on the main roster.
I don't think it's that uncommon for NXT people to do house shows.
Me neither. I'm just hoping. Speaking of Enzo and Cass, NXT... Oh, and then there was one other match. Alberto Del Rio and Rusev beat the
Lucha
Dragons.
Yeah.
Do you think Kalisto's going to lose the belt at Fastlane?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he should.
They're not really doing anything with it.
But I wouldn't be surprised now that Sin Cara's back. I mean, if they do a thing where Kalisto loses to Del Rio, drops the belt, then they enter a program with the New Day for the tag team belts.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions on the road to WrestleMania.
There just seems to be no direction.
Yeah, there's zero direction right now. NXT, did I watch NXT? Okay,
mm-hmm.
So Finn Balor's hurt. Finn Balor.
Yeah, apparently hurt himself. Was it confirmed he hurt himself doing the coup de grace?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
We've been predicting that for months, haven't we?
A long time. I hate this move. It looks like you're just going to roll your ankle no matter what.
And it's not even an impactful, powerful-looking move.
It's an ugly move.
It's a terrible move.
It's not a good move. It did, however, lead to that video out there.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You need to watch it.
Bailey comes out. Finn Balor's in the ring on crutches, I guess, addressing the crowd. And I don't know if
he bail?
What's that?
I heard he fell.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty funny. This alone should make you appreciate Finn Balor a bit more.
Okay.
Because he was allowed to show some personality. His music hits and Bailey comes out wearing the leather jacket and does his routine to perfection.
That's pretty cool.
And they do the too sweet in the ring, and then she hugs her music kick. She hugs him. He stumbles around. They fall together, and she starts freaking out, hoping that she didn't hurt him more. And they did a whole thing. It was fucking great.
That's
and it just
awesome.
It gives you such a warm feeling because these people love being in NXT, mm-hmm. and it's just this is why NXT is so great because they legitimately love doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, did I see NXT otherwise?
Yeah, I think we talked about it.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
What happened on it?
The main event was Finn against Apollo Crews.
Oh, yeah, okay.
When they started the match with rest holds.
Oh, God, that was a boring fucking match. You speculated that this is probably the last of their TV tapings.
They taped three episodes in a row.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I didn't think it was that bad.
The crowd was just, the crowd killed
it. The crowd was a little
But they might have been tired from the whole
But night, I think but. The commentary team helped with storytelling in that, saying mm-hmm. that they were trying to slow down the pace.
Right.
Since they're both pretty quick athletic guys.
Right, right.
So, I mean, in the storytelling aspect, it made sense. It didn't bother me that much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, time for questions?
Yeah. I was trying to think of anything else happened at NXT that was noteworthy, but...
At some point, I'm going to watch Lucha Underground.
Oh, yeah. This week's episode was good. Not as good as the season premiere, but it's still fun to watch.
All right. I'm going to check it out.
Questions. First one. 42 Tesla. If you guys were in creative, how would you book the Usos to get them over?
Do the opposite of everything I'm doing right now.
Pretty much. That could really apply to a lot of people in the
right Yeah.
Infrared Ruby 421. Book a beer money WWE NXT tag title run. I think for you, it would be splitting up beer money quickly and giving Bobby Roode a solo push, correct?
Oh, I'd main event him in WrestleMania. I would debut him in the main event of WrestleMania. I love Bobby Roode.
Adam Galloper. With Lucha Underground's more structured narrative, which WWE superstar that lacks character or gimmick would you like to see in Lucha Underground so they can give him, her, a character? See, the one of the highlights of Lucha Underground this week was the debut of Justin Gabriel.
Oh, okay.
In Lucha Underground. So I guess this kind of applies.
Did you read what Jim Cornette had to say about Lucha Underground?
Yeah.
What a jackass.
Yeah, he's a jackass.
Oh, God, it's great. If you guys want to just check out Jim Cornette, just look up Jim Cornette, Lucha Underground, and he just spews off about how this isn't fucking professional wrestling. This is just a TV show. It's just a production. I'm like, and it really came off like he doesn't realize that it's fake. And then he backtracked. Not didn't backtrack, but he was like, of course I know it's fake, but there's an element of, he said, if anybody wants to know, he seems to lament for the days that people thought it was kind of realish.
I know.
That's his problem.
He's an old school guy.
He's an old school guy.
The business is evolving. You got to evolve with the business.
You got to get with it.
Okay, so people in WWE that could benefit from going to Lucha Underground.
How would you book Heath Slater in Lucha Underground?
I wouldn't.
Okay, who doesn't have a character in WWE? Who's like sort of struggling in terms of a character?
A lot of them.
Oh, okay. Well, give me an example. And how would you book him in Lucha Underground?
Tyler Breeze.
Oh, there you go.
I think Tyler Breeze would be a really good fit for Lucha Underground.
Yeah. And then I don't know how they do characters and gimmicks in Lucha Underground.
They really, it kind of, like the champion, Mil Muertes, mm-hmm. he's got three guys that work for him. And they really embrace kind of the mythology of those guys and to make them seem kind of otherworldly.
Oh, that's interesting.
They really embrace that. Kind of a lot of the characters are kind of like that.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Those are the only ones that are kind of otherworldly. Like John Morrison, he's just an arrogant guy.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't say they rely so much on gimmicks as they develop characters.
Are there a lot of promo? Is there a lot of promo?
There's no promos.
No.
It's they do little vignettes.
Okay.
Like when they this week when Justin Gabriel, his name is PJ Black.
Yeah, yeah.
The Darewolf.
Okay.
So they introduced him with a vignette, and it's him.
Is he riding on top of a car through the street to the city street?
No, it's not Teen Wolf. It's Darewolf. So it's a montage, and he's doing a voiceover on top of it. It culminates where he's like, I think at a motel or a motor inn or something like that, and gets in a fight with like three guys, and he's saying he does things like that just for the thrill of it.
Oh, sure, okay.
And that's kind of how they develop story, that, and then they shoot, I guess you could call them promos if they were doing them WWE style, where they're standing next to each other, it's talking mm-hmm. to each other. but they had one this week that was Prince Puma and Pentagon Jr. and they were in a gym, mm-hmm. and they were kind of talking trash back and forth, and it led to fight.
Yeah.
And they were tagging together mm-hmm. later in the episode in the main event.
Interesting.
But it's all shot, you know, really cinematically.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
So there's it's still, you know, wrestling storytelling. If you look at it as basics, it's just packaged in a completely different way.
Okay, that's cool. See, I like that. I like that it's not trying to be booty WWE.
No. It's trying to be its own thing. I mean, even TNA, you know, is as unwatchable as it usually is. Mm-hmm. I kind of like their approach to backstage segments.
Yeah, because they do it more cinematically.
Yeah, and it's all kind of this handheld.
Stuff. Yeah, totally. Thing.
So I always kind of like that.
Yeah.
But my answer would be Tyler Breeze. I think they could package him and even use a similar gimmick to what he's doing now. Mm-hmm. And make it work.
Yeah. Tyler Mundo.
Something like that. Joe Derp, 2 questions. Do you think there needs to be do you think there needs to be another belt like a mid-card one?
Yes. No, there needs to be a scrub belt like the US belt. No,
you want the
like
TV
the
belt
TV
back.
Title. Yeah.
That's another thing cool about Lucha Underground. They have a belt called the Gift of the Gods title.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's kind of a combination Money in the Bank briefcase and TV belt. It's supposed to be defended regularly.
Yeah.
But also, at any point, you can cash it in for a title opportunity.
That's pretty neat.
It's kind of neat. Also from Joe Derp, do you think the Shield will reunite by the end of the year? No.
When is Seth Rollins coming back? Summer or something? Nah, they're not going to reunite. There's no reason to do that.
E. Hobson 617, who is the worst no-sell you've seen have success? I guess...
Bruiser Brody.
Lex Luger. He never really sold for anybody. Oh, Matt Thomas asked about the Bailey video.
Yeah, Matt Thomas, good shout out to you, thanks.
And then Dave Fishkind, what are your thoughts on the pop that AJ Styles is getting in WWE, and could he win the IC title or heavyweight title? He will win the IC title.
Guaranteed. And he'll do good with it. You know, I'm fine with making the IC title the kind that's like sort of fought for, because right now the World Heavyweight Championship, and for ages, ever since the Attitude Era really, the big belt has always been the one that they play up the politics involved in. Well, if you do this, then you can get this, and you have to get past whatever authority figure might be involved.
Yeah.
They have to do that. The IC belt, I'm totally fine with it being like it was. I mean, like it kind of is now, like with Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose, the belt that you fight for. It doesn't really matter. There doesn't have to be a story for it. Just fight for it.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to putting the belt on somebody who needs a push or needs a rub.
Yeah.
Give it to somebody who you know can perform in the ring. Give it to guys who are getting good pops, and it'll enhance
the
belt.
Well, in the olden days, it was the belt they gave to who was considered the best worker.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what it should be.
Yeah.
I agree with that totally. Thanks for your question. You guys can just hashtag it going in raw if you want to ask us questions on the Twitter or in the comments below this video. But Twitter is probably the best way to get to us.
Yeah.
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 All right, Larson, is it time for the greatest wrestling trivia challenge ever?
Of all time.
Kayfabe Corner.
Kayfabe Corner. Sorry, 12 names, 6 real, 6 fake.
Not to be confused with the internet show by a guy named Jeff. Not to be confused with apparently the Meltdown Comics' wrestling home shopping network type thing. I don't really know what the hell it is. Somebody pointed out to us. I'm like, I love Meltdown Comics. I don't care.
Yeah.
I think they might have got it from us, though.
Can't do anything about it now.
Look, if you look up Kayfabe Corner, we've had it the longest.
Yeah, but there's also results that predate us.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think they're...
Using K's? K for corner?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, it's an alliterative term.
It's a pretty obvious term.
It really is. So, anyways, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Get off Twitter then.
Okay.
You got to concentrate.
Okay.
Theme this week.
Okay. I'm going to fill these hands.
We're going to celebrate the career and legacy of Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
In this week's Kayfabe Corner.
All right.
So let's see how well you know.
All of it.
His career.
I know it very well.
Number one.
One.
Reed Bennett.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Enzo Reed.
Real.
It's Justin Roberts. It's who he choked at. Not his real name.
Yeah, he choked that
fucker
out.
Yeah. Got fired. Number three. Quick Kick.
Quick kick. I'm going to say fake.
Real.
Who's that?
Loki.
Oh, God.
Number 4. The Canadian Kid.
I'm totally lost right now. The Canadian kid. That has to be real.
Fake.
Fuck.
Number five, Miss April.
Fake.
Real.
Jesus Christ.
That's AJ Lee. Number six, Paul Dundee.
That's real.
It's fake.
What?
Unless I'm... I just made the name.
All right, keep going.
It's a combination of Paul Hogan and Crocodile Dundee.
That's what that is. Okay. I think there was a wrestler named Bill Dundee. That's why.
Yeah,
I,
it's
okay.
Bill Dundee.
Ah, whatever.
Number seven, Mr. Undercard.
Mr. Undercard. Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number whatever this one is. Pac.
How do you spell it?
P-A-C.
Fake.
Real.
Who's that?
Neville.
Oh, gosh.
Number nine, James King.
I am drowning right now. James King. Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 10, Sexton Danielson.
Sexton Danielson. Ah, fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 11.
I'm tied for worst right now.
Yeah. Number 11, Pinnacle.
Ooh, I like that name. I'm going to say real.
Yeah. It's okay. Wade Barrett. And last one, 12, Jack Fuller.
Jack Fuller. That sounds real. I'll say real.
Fake.
Okay.
And both Jack Fuller and Reed Bennett are characters played by Ashton Kutcher, who apparently granted Daniel Bryan the match against The Miz. That helped to win.
Oh, God.
I think.
Oh,
that's something
good.
Like that.
Oh, that's good.
All right, of course, two questions.
Yes.
First, who did Daniel Bryan, of course, then Bryan Danielson, defeat to capture the Ring of Honor title? He had one reign as champion, as the world heavyweight champion in Ring of Honor.
Has this guy ever had a WWE run?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on. I'll say CM Punk.
James Gibson.
James Gibson.
What was James Gibson's name in WWE?
James Gibson. James Gibson. Dang it. See if I can get this right.
Okay. You have four right now, right?
I have five.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not going to have the lowest score ever, so it's... Or tied for the lowest score ever, so that's fine.
Man, I'm drawing an absolute blank. James, God, that sounds so fucking familiar, though. Bugging the shit out of me. God, this is really bugging me. James Morrison.
Jamie Noble.
Oh, okay. No, I would not have gotten that.
We got to say bye because we're running out of space. Bye, everybody.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.